Alexander with Paranormal Radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is an encore appearance on the PowerCast with Gene Steinberg and our co-host Chris O'Brien. We're going to be talking again with Dr. John Brandenburg, and the last time he joined us, and that's the January 2nd, 2011 show, the first of the year, he was talking about lots of interesting things, including the book that he was working on at the time called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. Well, since then, the book has been published, and this is one of the first shows anywhere on this planet, maybe not on Mars, where you'll hear all about it. And we'll talk about the book and why a plasma physicist became intrigued with the red planet and why people in general are intrigued with the red planet. So, John, welcome back to the PowerCast.
Hey, Chris, Gene, it's great to be back. And, yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
Well, actually, John has a new book coming out that's called Beyond Einstein's Relativity. Is that?
No, Beyond Einstein's Unified Field.
Unified Field. Okay, right. Gravitational Electromagnetism Redefined is the subtitle. And this
that's right.
Is
it's basically about the gem unification theory that I have developed.
Right, which is one of your major career goals that you've been working on for quite a number of years.
One of my major career goals, yes.
Right.
Since 11
but,
years ago.
So we're going to be covering that, and as well as your most recent book that's been published called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. And we're going to be getting into a lot of the interesting aspects of your work, your sideline work, studying Mars that we weren't able to cover in your first appearance on the show. And there's a lot of interesting stuff I want to get into about that, including your theory of an airburst nuclear explosion on Mars, which we'll cover as well.
Yes.
One of the things I want to start with, John, is the fascination. We all have a fascination with Mars. Why
yes.
is that? Is it because somewhere in our racial memory we came from there, really? Or is it just because Mars is there and it's distinct?
Yeah, there is a very eerie sense that perhaps we all want to go back to Mars because that's where we started from. And based on the best science we have now, you know, they've, of course, had NASA scientists say that they'd found signs of life on early Mars from this one ALH-8401, the Mars rock. And that shows that life was on Mars about as soon as the solar system formed. And they've also found evidence in Earth rocks that going back almost 4 billion years that Earth was alive almost as soon as the surface cooled off enough to have an ocean. And, of course, you know, when the Earth first formed, it was really hot. And so was Mars. But Mars cooled off quicker. It was farther from the sun, and it was smaller. So both Earth and Mars probably were seeded from the same source. So the universe is probably full of spores of living that basically, just like that cupcake you push to the back of your refrigerator somehow gets mold on it. You don't know how after a couple months. The same thing has happened to the planets. Basically, there's spores in space that basically end up on the planets, and it's called this idea is called panspermia, by the way. It's a very old idea. It actually goes back to the ancient Greeks. But what happened was Mars probably became biologically a growing concern far earlier than Earth. Earth was a big hothouse, kind of a giant swamp where only the most kind of primitive kind of bugs lived. Mars cooled off, became much more like Earth is now, and probably supported advanced life forms much before Earth did. Earth was formed 4.5 billion years ago. For about 4 billion years of that, almost nothing happened on Earth. There was just bacteria and mold and stuff like that, maybe a little algae. And then suddenly, 0.5 billion years ago, we had what was called the Precambrian explosion, where suddenly life on Earth just blossomed into all these different forms and all this evolution. And there was one of the things that appeared was actually predators. Predators that breathed oxygen. And you must understand, in the bacterial world, oxygen is like nitro is to drag racing. It is a high-energy fuel. And once a bacteria masters burning oxygen, it can outrun all of the other predators and bugs that use just like make methane and stuff like that, what's called anaerobic respiration, has far less energy. Now, the question has always been, what triggered this explosion of life on Earth? A cornucopia of strange stuff. I mean, stuff that is so weird, they call it hallucinogens is one of the species they found, because it looks so weird. It looked like something from a hallucination. And this all happened half a billion years ago. About that same time on Mars, a big asteroid apparently plowed into Mars and probably spewed rocks covered with Mars life all throughout space. And so the Precambrian explosion, Mars died as, you know, its biosphere apparently collapsed because of this big asteroid impact, just about the time life really got going on Earth. And so perhaps the Precambrian explosion was an invasion from Mars.
Well, and this brings up an interesting point, John.
So the advanced life on Earth is actually Martian. The old bacteria, botulism, stuff like botulism, that's old primitive life on Earth. The new life on Earth, you know, multicellular animals, jellyfish, you know, trilobites, stuff like that, that may be Martian.
Well,
and rode here on meteorites.
Let me interrupt you here for a second, because
sure.
the current Journal of Cosmology, there's a very interesting paper that's been published by Dr. Richard Hoover, which talks about fossils of cyanobacteria that have been found on carbonaceous meteorites.
Yeah, he found
and
algae.
Initially, NASA agreed with his results, and now they're backtracking. You want to talk about that briefly?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, one thing you have to realize, we're poised on the edge of a second Copernican revolution. We don't think we're the geometric center of the universe, but everybody thinks we're the center of the biological universe. We're the masters of the only thing in the universe that matters, that's alive.
Except if you watch Star Trek, and of course you have all these other races, but then who believes Star Trek, right?
Remember 1984, you had doublethink. People can entertain two contradictory ideas in their mind at the same time. One of them is that we are masters of the universe, the human race. And that's because we are masters of this little oasis in the middle of the desert. We think that that is the entire world. There's just this oasis, living oasis, and then desert, lifeless desert. And at the same time, you tell other, ask scientists who are criticizing any time anybody like Hoover finds evidence for extraterrestrial life, they jump all over him. Or in the case of NASA, they try to disown him, even though he's been a serious NASA researcher. And this man is a very careful man. I've talked to him. He's very careful with his techniques. His findings are solid. And I'm going to tell you the really big shoe that's going to drop here just in a minute. But I'll tell you, people, even educated scientists, do not like the idea that they're going to find extraterrestrial life. It's the difference between an idea in the abstract and the idea in the real. And the idea in the real means they are demoted. It's almost as if they're telling me, Brandenburg, I have struggled to become head of my department, and I'm bucking for dean of arts and sciences, and you're telling me I'm nothing?
So basically the arrival of knowledge that E.T. is here,
suddenly E.T. when it's real,
close enough to be real. Okay, so that knowledge, you're saying, can basically destroy the conventional mainstream science.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I'll tell you the other shoe that's going to drop, by the way, that the meteorites he carved into are actually from Mars. I published that in a paper in 1996. That's the other shoe that's going to drop.
Yeah, we'll go into that more in a moment, because we have another shoe that has to drop. It's called the sponsorship shoe. And I don't know if we're selling shoes
or not.
We'll
put a cushion under it.
We're talking to Dr. John Brandenburg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
Paracast.
All right.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MYTV. 1-877-804-MYTV.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We return the lively Dr. John Brandenburg. He's a plasma physicist. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and we were discussing other shoes, all those other ways out there that begin and end with what's happening, our knowledge about Mars. So you're saying that the meteorites that supposedly contain evidence of ET, they are from Mars, all of them?
They are also from Mars, like ALH-8401. And what it is the way you tell where a meteorite comes from is oxygen isotopes. and chromium isotopes. And you can rank every major body in the solar system has a distinctive signature, apparently, in oxygen isotopes. You know, the oxygen chemicals are all the same. The oxygen chemically acts the same, but the nuclear structure is slightly different among the oxygens. Mars has a slightly lighter type of oxygen mix of isotopes than Earth does. So that's how they can tell if a rock is from Mars. They test the oxygen isotopes, and it says, okay, Mars. All the meteorites from Mars have the same oxygen isotopes. What's is really interesting is the isotopes for Earth are identical to the Moon. So that's why people believe the Moon actually and the Earth formed together or split apart or something. Their isotopes are the same. Now, also, there's another new isotope system called chromium, and that identifies Mars versus Earth and other planets, or like other meteorites from the asteroid belt. They have the different asteroids in the asteroid belt apparently have different signatures. However, if you test the CI for their oxygen isotopes and their chromium isotopes, it says Mars. And this, by the way, got an extremely angry reaction when I published it, because the CI are 2% organic matter. And they're very ancient, like ALH8401, they're 4.5 billion years old. Apparently, they're old Martian lake bottom is what they are. Lakes formed on Mars full of cosmic dust, forming mud, and then that got blown into space by other big rocks and sent to Earth, and that's the CI. And
are all meteorites from Mars or just the subset?
No. Only one in a million meteorites is from Mars. There are millions of meteorites in the collections. There are only a dozen CI, and there are only a dozen recognized Mars meteorites. So they're about 50-50. If you include the CI with the Mars meteorites, then you have about 24 meteorites all told out of millions that fall out of the sky. Most of the meteorites come from the asteroid belt, where there's constantly collisions between asteroids and that blows little chunks off them and then they end up on Earth. And as it turns out, there are little pieces of lava in the CI and the lava matches Mars. The Mars meteorites are all lavas, and those lavas have a element in them called olivine, and the olivine in the CI matches Mars chemically and its isotopes. So they're, but by the way, people were very angry with me when I made this. I published it. It was a big fight to get it published. I published it. People would show up at meetings and be angry with me.
Yeah, but you're such a nice guy. How could they be angry?
I know. But apparently I really annoy certain people. And especially if they have long gray beards. And I tend to pull on their beards when I'm arguing with them. And this one guy got up and said, "What you said is absolutely wrong." And I thought, wait a minute, I know this guy. And I checked my notes, the statement I had made that there were, by the way, the CI don't have any little hypervelocity impacts on them, like every other meteorite, except the Mars meteorites. And I said, they don't have any hypervelocity impacts. And he got up and said, "That's not true. Bah, humbug." And I checked my notes. I had quoted his article on the CI for meteorites. So I said, I showed this to him. After, in the hallway, I said, his name was John also. I said, "John, you just contradicted your own article in there." He just looks at me and says, "Just because the isotopes say they're for Mars, that doesn't mean they're for Mars." Stomped away. But the isotopes don't lie, though. The isotopes, they're basically fingerprints. These things have the same fingerprints as the Mars meteorites, and that means they're from Mars. And that means if you cut them open and find bacteria in them, you're basically just validating the work of McKay and company at NASA. What Hoover has basically done all over again is discover life on Mars. And which makes perfect sense because...
Well, he doesn't mention anywhere in his paper, in the abstract, at least.
Oh, I know. We've discussed that, and he basically said, "Well, John, I'm just trying to get people to believe that they're actually these bacteria." He said, "I don't want to get involved in the big fight about where they come from."
Right, right.
He says, "Everyone believes they come from outer space." And he said, so therefore, if I find bacteria in them and they're from outer space, then there's life in outer space. And
right, baby steps.
And I understand that. He's trying to...
He's trying to pull everybody along gently.
Okay, let me ask you the obvious question that occurs to me, John. And that is, okay, so maybe this evidence of life in outer space is Martian. But is there any evidence anywhere of life in outer space elsewhere?
Yes, there is. There's a completely different type of meteorite, which is similar. It's similar to the CI. It's kind of watery. It's dried out clay. But it's riddled with bullet holes from hypervelocity impacts out in the asteroid belt. It's clearly from the asteroid belt. And they found a bacteria fossil in that, too, and it's called Murchison. And the reason Murchison is important, it's what's called a CM, carbonaceous chondrite. And its oxygen isotopes, by the way, are absolutely different than the CI and the Mars meteorites and Earth. They are completely different. And... they are probably most likely from the asteroid belt. They look like they're from the asteroid belt. And what happened is they picked this thing up when it was still hot. It fell in Australia, and they picked it up and basically put it in a sterile canister. So there's no question that it was contaminated with Earth life. And then they found this fossil. It's very sparse. I think they found just a few fossils in Murchison of bacteria or what looked like bacteria. And, so there is a separate line of evidence for just life in outer space, spores that float around. But when they find a place like Earth or Mars, a warm, wet place, it's just like, fungus finding that nice cupcake in the back of your refrigerator that you forgot about.
So basically, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make this very clear to you, perfectly clear. We're fungus. Okay,
we're fungus. We're opportunistic fungus.
Opportunistic fungus. I'd like to repeat that five times backwards.
That's right.
We have Dr. John Brandenburg. His new book just is called Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis, and we'll explore the Martians and the mysteries and lots more. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We have Dr. John Brandenburg, second visit to the Paracast, because the last time he was here, he had this book coming out that we kind of touched on called
Yep.
Life and Death on Mars, the New Mars Synthesis. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. This week, we're going to be covering that book and all the ramifications thereof. Now, when we look at Mars and we're seeing these microbes,
the CI being from Mars, and even a picture of one of the algae growths that Hoover had found, that's in the book. So the book was published with the knowledge that Hoover was finding these things.
So basically you actually predicted the news cycle.
I did.
Kind of, sort of. Okay,
yeah.
But the key here is, though, is that we're looking
at something. Amazing
what
you can do, what inspiration you can get out of a rum bottle. I'm just kidding.
But I wanted to just cover here. Okay, so we look at this thing, and we have these ancient meteorites that might have helped seed our planet. So maybe in some vague sense, we are the Martians come back.
That's right. And it's like we want to return ourselves.
Seriously, is that why we have this longing for Mars? I'm serious about that.
It's almost as if we're nostalgic for our old little puddles of mud on Mars where we formed our genetic material.
So basically now, if the Dead Sea Bottoms of Barsoom, as the late, great Edgar Wright Burroughs wrote about, you know, well over 100 years ago, John Carter of Mars, by the way, they're making a movie of that. All right, I have
good
no
for them.
Other information. Okay, so we now have this fascination with Mars, but we have always looked for Martian mysteries that intrigue us, and maybe I'd like to cover some of the things that we look at. So, for example, at one time we thought there were canals on Mars.
That's right.
As recently as maybe the 50s and 60s, we said, maybe these are canals and they are remnants of some kind of ancient artificial construct. But what happened with that? That kind of went by the wayside.
Well, they got the first probes to Mars so they could actually look at Mars. When you look at Earth from Earth through the atmosphere at Mars, it's like looking down a hot highway in the Mojave. You see all these heat waves constantly blurring the image of Mars. And your eye is basically built, part of our survival software in the eye-brain system is to connect dots, particularly straight lines, because those mean if you're in the woods, if one of our ancestors is in the woods and fails to spot the straight line coming straight at him, then he is dead, and he no longer contributes to the gene pool. Straight things are associated with man's worst enemy, which is other men, other human beings, carrying spears and shooting arrows. So those are straight. Those things are straight, so they'll fly right. And so when the human eye looked, the human eye was the best optic system they had in those days. They couldn't, and you couldn't take good photographs of Mars because the photographs just looked blurry, because they would, by the time the you got enough light from Mars to expose the photographic image, the heat waves in the Earth's atmosphere had smeared it out. So they would basically spend hours staring through the telescope, looking at Mars, and trying to connect, you know, make sense out of what they were seeing. And that was, they tended to connect dots on Mars, and that's where the canals apparently came from. Now, when we got to Mars, we didn't find any canals. And that was a big disappointment. And a lot of people then just said, in fact, we found a bunch of craters. And people were very frightened during the Cold War at that time. And it was like they just said, oh, Mars is dead. It's like the moon. Forget Mars. And it was only later when they got better probes that they found out that Mars was covered with dried river channels. So the canals of Lowell became basically the river, dried river channels of Barentsum that we see now. Mars is covered with dry river channels. They have oceans of water flowing around on Mars perhaps half a billion years ago.
So we see now that we're talking about ancient life, nothing yes. recent. So
well, it's Mars is only a shell of what it was, once was. What turned Mars from a planet that probably looked from a distance much like Earth was Mars is next to the asteroid belt, and so it was just an accident waiting to happen. It had a big ocean, and you know that oceanfront property is always popular because it stays, the temperatures stay mild because the ocean is a big heat reservoir. It stays warm in the winter and cooler in the summer. And at the same time, oceans can store, especially if you have a big CO2 greenhouse like on Venus, if you had that on Mars, the ocean stores a whole bunch of carbon dioxide as soda water. So if there's any, like a big impact from an asteroid or something on Mars and it blows away part of the atmosphere and tries to chill the planet, then the ocean keeps the planet warm and bubbles out more carbon dioxide to replace the atmosphere that was lost. And Mars can kind of just keep going. But if there's too big of an asteroid, and Carl Sagan, believe it or not, was the first person to figure this out, and I give him credit in the book. He figured out that if you had this big CO2 greenhouse on Mars, you could have liquid water, ocean, rivers, that it was an accident waiting to happen. It was like a big boulder on top of a cliff. If something nudged it, it would fall off the cliff and wouldn't be able to get back up again because carbon dioxide, as you know, forms dry ice. And things get cold enough on Mars to form dry ice at the poles. And if you had a big asteroid that produced kind of a nuclear winter sort of situation, the temperature could quickly drop in the Martian poles far below Antarctica on Earth. And the dry ice actually starts, the carbon dioxide will freeze out of the atmosphere. Once freezing out of the atmosphere, it gets colder because the greenhouse effect goes away because it depends on the carbon dioxide. So it feeds on itself. So you get a planetary-wide climate collapse. And as I said, Carl Sagan was the first person to point out that Mars had the potential for a climate collapse.
Okay, so Mars is still kind of a dead world now, though. Maybe we have microbes there, but the Martians didn't disappear into the caves to keep going.
I am certain that there are colonies in like little caves and geothermal hot springs and stuff where Martian life is still going just fine, but it's only a shadow of the former biosphere. It's the few surviving bugs that held on. Mars is putting out a lot of methane, as it turns out, and that's probably some of the surviving bugs feasting off of the old plants that got buried on Mars. And they're making swamp gas, basically.
So basically here, if there were intelligent Martians, in the way we describe intelligence,
yes,
knowing this happened, they would have left the planet long ago if they could, or they just died out.
If they could have left, they would have left. In fact, you can kind of make a rough estimate of how advanced life got on Mars, because they apparently weren't advanced enough to stop the asteroid. And the asteroid impact basin that apparently formed and destroyed Mars' climate system is called LYOT. It's pronounced LEO, but it's French. So we'd pronounce it Lyot, but it's actually Leo, pronounced Leo. And that was as big as the one that wiped out the dinosaurs, only it happened to a planet only half the size of Earth with half the sunlight. And if there were people on Mars like us, they didn't have a space program.
That's because the Congress decided to cut the appropriations. That's always the reason.
Well, it decided.
That's why we have plasma physicist Dr. John Brandenburg. The book is Life and Death on Mars, The New Mars Synthesis. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Another big segment with Dr. John Brandenburg. We're talking about the Martian mysteries and if there was some kind of intelligence on Mars, they didn't advance enough to get off planet when the catastrophe, the cataclysm occurred.
Our space program has actually enhanced the human chances of surviving for the next 1,000 years because we have enough space technology now and enough telescope technology and, quite frankly, enough nuclear weapons technology, if we need it, to destroy or deflect a large asteroid that would come into this planet to destroy it.
So like the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis.
Absolutely.
You can lead the oil crew to some kind of asteroid and probably destroy it.
I really like that movie, except for the science.
Well, it's a movie, you know. What can you expect?
It was a movie.
It's a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. When has Jerry Bruckheimer ever specialized in scientific accuracy?
Since he married Julie Chen. she was the person running Big Brother for a while. They got married, apparently. Yes.
Sure. Wanted to go into a few things here. If we're going to look at the things we see on Mars, it may have indicated more life in the past. The planet has undergone all these cataclysms and everything. What about the face on Mars? Is that something that represents any reality or could represent any reality?
I'm going to be commenting further on that later. Basically, we have a lot of nice pictures of it now. For something that's not supposed to be important, NASA sure takes a lot of pictures of it.
Well, you know, and they have to put your tax dollars to work. But you know what?
Well,
you're going to have more to say. Let's say it right now. You know, because this is one of the things that we kind of think.
Well, we published a hypothesis.
Sure.
We published the hypothesis back in, it was myself, Vince DiPietro, and Greg Molinar, two of the original researchers, and we put together a hypothesis that Mars had been like Earth in the past, and that like Earth, it had developed an indigenous intelligent species, and who built large monuments like the pyramids and the Sphinx, or the big stone heads of the Olmecs, and that's what we're seeing. We found not only a big head, face, and pyramid at Cydonia, but other structures that look archaeological. And then there's another area called Utopia, which has been given the fancy name Galaxis Chaos for a specific area. And we found what looks like another face on Mars. It looks very much like the first one, and it's only about two-thirds the size. In fact, there are two faces. And we published all of that in a scientific journal called the Journal of Scientific Exploration. And we published it before the Mars Observer was supposed to go up and put this matter to rest one way or another. And I stand by my hypothesis that Cydonia is the remnants of an indigenous, indigenous civilization, humanoid civilization on Mars. And I stand by that hypothesis. I consider the new pictures have verified it.
John, if what you're describing in terms of a timeline is correct, then these features must have been made 500 million years ago. And they've only been weathered to the degree that we see now?
Well, Mars went into a big deep freeze and lost most of its atmosphere. Most of Mars' atmosphere froze out on the surface. Now, that meant the rates of erosion on Mars dropped to only a thousandth of what they are now.
Then that makes sense then, yeah.
Yeah, so almost no air. There's no freeze-thaw cycle on Earth, which does a lot of the erosion on Earth. And, the Sphinx is probably like 10,000 years old, if you believe the work of Schock. It's about 4,000 years old, if you believe mainstream archaeologists. But it's been fairly well preserved. It's been vandalized. Napoleon shot its nose off.
Blew its nose off.
Right, and he was jealous because it was bigger than his nose. So it's possible to have, but also, by the way, we predicted in the Cydonian hypothesis that we would see signs of erosion because, it would look like an eroded, all archaeology on Earth is eroded by the weather. And if it's made out of really good rock, like the Olmec heads in Central America were buried in the jungle, and they were made of really tough basalt, volcanic rock. So they're actually...
How did they even carve basalt with no iron?
It's a mystery. And in fact, the features of the look African. Look like... that there's somehow people from Africa came and settled in Central America. So, and some of the, there's about 20 Olmec heads. Some of them look very much like the face on Mars. I mean, in terms of the helmet ornaments and everything. So, we published that hypothesis, and people have said, them's my words, and I'm sticking to them. I still believe the Cydonian hypothesis is valid, and I believe the new data tends to support it rather than refute it.
You have to think about the impact of science. It's one thing to say E.T. is here and close and personal today.
Yeah.
But to say E.T. may have been there. There may have been intelligent species on Mars 10,000, 100,000, a million years ago. That shouldn't be such a big stretch because it doesn't overturn what we know today, or does it?
As usual, things are kind of complicated because let's just hypothetically say that we're not alone in the universe and there are living ETs out there with spaceships, kind of in the shape of saucers that buzz around here, and the government knows that. Let's just say hypothetically there's a government cover-up of that knowledge.
And by the way, another Dr. John last week, Dr. John Alexander, who said precisely the reverse. As someone who has been involved in government work and in the military, he said there is no conspiracy.
I can categorically say there is no cover-up. Well, that's interesting.
Doesn't sound like you agree with
that. That's interesting to hear that he would say that after working in the government all these years. And I wrote a very good novel about this called Morningstar Pass, The Collapse of the UFO Cover. Of course, I didn't write it. It was written by this guy I know real well named Victor Norgaard. And in the novel, the whole UFO cover-up is explored and then finally collapses. And because of two women newscasters, as it turns out. What force on Earth would be powerful enough to overthrow the UFO cover-up? Well, these two beautiful women that no one can say no to.
So basically it's not the scientist, the male scientist with the beautiful assistant. We don't do that anymore.
Oh, no, no, no. These are too, you know, there's a new character in fiction and in real life, and that's called the female hero. And I have a male hero, but I also have female heroes, and they're kind of harking back to, imagine Russian women fighting in the Red Partisans in the woods against the Germans, you know, carrying those big round clip, it was before the AK-47, it was that big round clip thing, the Petoshaw. And knowing if they're captured, they'll be tortured to death, and doesn't bother them anyway. Doesn't bother them at all.
That's a real motivation.
And, what's that?
It's a real motivation to be pretty badass, I think.
Oh, yeah. So they, they're women who have fought in wars just as heroically as any man, especially modern war.
The Amazons.
Modern Amazons. And, the Greeks knew women could fight. Especially if you give them bows and the Amazons were specialists in bows and arrows. Death at a distance.
Xena, Queen of the Jungle.
Xena, Queen of the Jungle, absolutely. One of my favorite shows for a while. It was that Tanya Alexander, or was it?
Well,
Tanya Roberts.
The lead Lawless. Star was Lucy Lawless.
Oh, then there was Lucy Lawless. Xena. Oh, is that Xena? Yeah.
Okay.
Lucy Lawless, yes. I'm a big fan of Lucy Lawless. And
we also saw her on Battlestar Galactica. She makes guest appearances. She does Broadway shows. Very talented. We're talking to the very talented Dr. John Brandenburg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.